Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Kama Daf Kuf Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins on Daf Kuf Tes, 3 lines from the top, at the point at which the Gemara begins following the Mishnah. Before we begin the actual Gemara text, let us take note of some structural considerations. On the side, in our margin, we have the Nosei slash Mivneh, Nosei topic heading, Mivneh structural note, combined into one. A bow tie marking appears, highlighting the word Tanan. We are going to make reference to our Mishnah from the previous Omid Beis, Kuf Ches Omid Beis, and a Mishnah earlier from Daf Kuf Gimel Omid Aleph. L'cha'ira ha-mishnayis dehem be'etzim reisha v'sefer shaloisa Mishnah. These Mishnayis are, in effect, the beginning and end of the same Mishnah. Just that one appears on Daf Kuf Gimel and the continuation on Daf Kuf Ches. These parts of the Mishnah, Nir Ois Sois Rois, they appear to be contradictory. Be'inyin Kiyu Mitzvah Hashavas Gezel Derech Mechila. A thief who stole has to return the theft. Can he fulfill the obligation of Hashavas Gezel, of returning the theft, through Mechila, which means where the victim of the theft forgives and foregoes having the item returned to him? Can he be moichel on it? Lefi ha-mishnah bekuf gimel omer aleph, if you were to focus on the Mishnah adaf kuf gimel omer aleph, so you would get the impression, mashma desagi b'mechila, that the mechila method, the forgiving of the gezel, of the return of the item of theft, is sufficient. Ma she'en kein lefi ha-mishnah kan kuf ches omid beis mechila lo mo'ila, as opposed to the Mishnah on kuf ches omid beis, namely our Mishnah, mechila doesn't seem to be effective. How are we to then resolve this? Now, structurally, you will notice a house marking with a colored-in tip. These represent deos, eich, liashiv, and al, different opinions on how to resolve the two sources. So we have Rabbi Yochanan. He'll be the first approach. His approach will be to say that the Reisha and the Seifa really represent two different Tanaic authorities. And the Gemara will give us a brisa in which these two names and their opinions appear. Later on the Omid, Rav Sheshes, after he raises a question on the approach of Rabbi Yochanan, he presents his own approach that both the Reisha and the Seifa, Kuf Gimel and Kuf Ches, are one Tana, the same Tana. And we'll have to see why the distinction. And then Rava, 3 lines from the bottom, he says both the Reisha and the Seifa, the Mishnah on Kuf Gimel and the Mishnah on Kuf Ches, are authored by one Tana, but a different Tana than Rav Sheshes had suggested. Now, we turn to the Gemara. The Gemara opens with a comment of Rav Yosef that is on the Mishnah, our Mishnah, on Kuf Ches Omid Beis, where the Mishnah spoke about HaGezel Es Aviv. So you can see we've written in between the lines the words Aha Disnan HaGezel Es Aviv. The reason that we did that was to enable us to use a bow tie to highlight the reference to the Mishnah of Kufches, our Mishnah, and then contrast that bow tie with the bow tie that you see in a couple of lines, which is a reference to the Mishnah on Kuf Gimel. So this piece of Gemara is a comment on our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, we saw that one who steals from his father, he must return the theft to any heirs of the father. In other words, he, even though he himself is an heir, and we have to just emphasize that the Mishnah spoke about son stealing from father, then lied under oath, and then the father died. And after the father's death, this wayward son confessed that he had in fact stolen and that his oath was a lie. The Mishnah says he has to pay to the heirs. Now, with that in mind, Omar Rav Yosef, we continue with our Gemara, Afilu la'arnik ishel tzedakah, literally the pouch of charity, the charity collection dish. Rav Yosef says that the wayward son has to pay out the theft. If he can't find any heirs of the father, so he, and let's say he's the only heir, he has to pay the theft to charity. He cannot moichel it, keep it for himself. Omar of Papa, v'tzorach shiyomar, and he has to announce, ze gezel avi. This is payment for the theft that I stole from my father. Rashi, on the fourth line from the top, says, and we dashed, underline it, v'lo yakvenu biyodo. He, the son, who might be the only heir, he cannot keep it, keep the theft, the item of theft, the money, or whatever he stole, he cannot keep it for himself. The Gemara asks, Amai, why do you say that he can't keep it for himself? Why must he pay out the money? Why must he part with the theft? Nimchalei l'nafshe, why can he not forgive it to himself, where there's no other heir? Why can't he just keep it? He's the only heir. So the money that he would have paid to the father, he would have inherited. No, and he can't do that. Well, why not? Milo Tanan, do we not have a precedent in our Mishnah? The Mishnah, which began on Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph, says, Mochal lo al hakeren, velo mochal lo al hachomesh. The Mishnah described a victim of theft who forgave the payment of the principal. He didn't forgive the payment of the additional fifth, which was the topic of the Mishnah over there. We don't have to get into the details right now. All we have to note is that the thief featured in Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph was able to benefit from the fact that the victim of the theft forgave the theft, forgave the amount, forgave the return of the principal. But there was no, you don't see any actual mitzvahs hashava being done, any actual act of return of the theft, other than the owner forgiving it. Rashi, on the third narrow line, says, Milo tnan mocha loy al hakeren, where the owner, the victim of the theft, forgave the principal, velo mekaimo mitzvahs hashava, and the optimal form of return wasn't fulfilled. Almo lemeipak yedei gezela bo'inon v'honafko lei b'mechila. You see from here that all that that he's obligated, as the thief is obligated to achieve, is to free himself from the act of theft, free himself from the sin. And he has successfully done so through the mechila, through the forgiving of the owner. Ha-ha, nami, kevon yerusha kamei nafla. Here too, since the yerusha, the inheritance, fell to him, there's no other heir, as Rashi explained before. Nofak le midei gezela. He thereby extricates himself, frees himself from theft. So we continue in our Gemara. Alma bar mechilahu. We see then that theft is something that lends itself to forgiving. So very simply, we have what appears to be then an inconsistency within the Mishnah. Our Mishnah, especially in light of Rav Yosef's comment, the thief must pay out the money. He must go through the act of paying out the theft, according to the Mishnah on Kuf Gimel, the earlier part of the Mishnah. He doesn't have to go through the act of paying it out. Omar Rav Yochanan, lo kashya. There's no difficulty here. Ha Rav Yosi Haglili, ha Rav Akiva. The Mishnah on Kuf Gimel, which indicated that Mechila is an option, is in accordance with Rav Yosi Haglili, and our Mishnah on Kuf Ches is in accordance with Rabbi Akiva Desanya. And here we have a Tanaic source. Do note, by the way, that we have a very long answer marking. This is one long answer, which will then lead into Rav Sheshis' question on the answer. But in the meantime, let's see how Rabbi Yochanan resolves the two sources. Desanya. The Pasuk describes someone who was robbed, and it says, "V'im ein la'ish goyel," if the victim has no heir, "lahashiv ha'asham," unto whom to return the theft, the principal of the theft. The word asham is a reference to the keren, the principal amount of the theft. Now the pasuk then describes a thief who's trying to, let's say, return the money. And then he doesn't, and the victim himself died, and he finds no heirs. Well, v'chiyesh adam b'Yisrael she'ein lo ge'alim. Is it possible that there's a Jew that has no relatives? Even if a person has no children, he may have been an only child, so he has no brothers, but his father certainly had a brother. And if not, so his grandfather had a brother. You can trace some kind of family relationship somewhere. If you go all the way back in time, Jews are related to one another. So what is the pasuk describing when it says the victim has no heirs? Ela begezel hagera kosev medaber. This pasuk is describing someone who stole from a convert. And the thief then swore that he didn't steal anything. He lied in that oath, and it's now described hare shegozal hager. We mentioned that the pasuk describes stealing from a convert. A convert, assuming that he converted at a point at which he had no children afterwards. So any previous family relation that remained that he may have had, once a person converts to Judaism, he loses all halachic connection to any members of his former Gentile family. So you can in fact imagine a person who is Jewish, who was the victim of theft, who has no heirs. So the Brisa describes what happened. Haresha gozal hager v'nishbalo. A thief stole from a convert, swore that he didn't do anything of the sort. V'shoma shemes hager, and he heard that the ger died. V'hoyamale kaspoi v'asham yushalayim. The thief was bringing money to Jerusalem to pay the kohanim, which is the law that if a person stole from a ger and he swore falsely that he didn't do the as such and the ger died, you have to repent by paying the kohanim that serve in the Beis HaMikdash at that time. Now, we have this thief on his way to bring the money to the kohanim, thinking that the ger from whom he stole died. Upoga ba'oisoi hager, and lo and behold, a dramatic turn in the story. He meets that very ger. He meets the convert from whom he stole. V'zokfei olav b'milveh, and the ger said, "You know, it's you owe me money. Fine, let's consider it now as a debt, a loan that you owe me." The expression "zokfei olav b'milveh" means, once again, that the ger, the convert, converted the theft, so to speak, into a loan. Pay me Pay me when you get around to it, when you get the money, or when it's convenient for you. Umes. And then the ger died. Zocha halob b'mashe b'yado divrei Rabbi Yosei Glini. The thief whose theft now was converted into a loan is able to keep the money. Let's take a look at Rashi across from here. The zokvay alav ger b'milve. The ger converted the debt into a loan. Nofak le mitoras gezela. That's a very important phrase. We've dashed underline it. That enables the thief to extricate himself from the status of a thief. Ulechimayas ger have le hai musik. When the ger in fact dies, the thief is in possession of the money, v'zocha min hefker, and he acquires from the realm of hefker. When a ger dies, his properties are considered unowned. So being that this thief is in possession of the monies, and we already described the monies having been converted into a milveh, he is able to keep it. He's zeicher. He gains it from hefker, from the realm of the unowned. That's Rabbi Yossi Haglili's approach. Rabbi Akiva Oimer ein lo takona ad sheyotzi gzeilo mitachas yado. This thief has no atonement, no literally fixing, until he gets the money out of his possession, until he pays out the money. L'Rabbi Yossi Haglili, as far as his approach is concerned, lo shno l'nafshei, lo shno l'achirim motzi mochil. The idea of forgiving of a theft makes no difference whether it's unto himself or from one unto the other. Rashi says, "V'lo shno." Let's read Rashi across him. "V'lo shno l'nafshei kegon hacha," like this case, "de mochil le hai gavra gezel ager l'nafshei." The thief is keeping the money unto himself, meaning no one formally forgave him of the debt, but under the circumstances where the ger died and he had no address to pay the money to, he keeps it for himself. That's linafshe. Vuadin goizel es oviv v'nishbalu meis oviv demochel linafshe. And similarly, with regard to someone who stole from his father, swore falsely, and the father died, he would be able to keep it for himself. So that the approach of Rabbi Yossi Haglili is highlighted then in what we saw in the Mishnah Daf Kuf Gimel, this concept of Mechila, and in Kuf Gimel there it really was Achirim, where the victim was Moichel to the thief himself. And Rashi goes on, Veloshna Achirim Nigzal LaGoizel Motzi Mochil. That's a simpler case, where the actual victim forgives the debt of return to the thief. Umasnisen dekotoni mochalo ala keren. The Mishnah Daf Kuf Gimel that spoke about the forgiving of the principal amount. Rabbi Yossi Haglili he vashminen lachirim. And the Mishnah there on Kuf Gimel gives us the more obvious case of where you can forgive to someone else. V'adin l'nafshe, and let us understand, according to Rabbi Yossi Haglili, it would work unto yourself as well. Hecha denofak midei gzela, kegon yoresh, o gezel ager, where there is, he leaves the realm of theft, like in the case of one being the sole heir, or the case of the theft from the convert. This is a very important detail that Rashi adds based on the Gemara itself later, that in the story we read where we saw the ger converted the theft into a loan, the thinking at this point is that that was not an absolutely necessary element in order to free the thief from the need to return. The mere fact that there is no formal address to return it to, because he is in possession of the money, he is able to keep it for himself. There's a lot more on that detail that we'll see as the Gemara unfolds. But in the meantime, we're getting a flavor of things. Rabbi Yossi Haglili is the opinion that says Mechila works. And just like Rabbi Yossi Haglili in this particular Tanaic source speaks of one forgiving unto himself, he is likewise the author of the Mishnah on Kuf Gimel that says Mechila works. There, it was a more obvious form of Mechila, but and we saw that it works. Let's continue in the Gemara. Ulu Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, in the story with the Gezel Hager, mentioned that you can't keep the money, that even though you're in possession of it, you've got to pay out the money. Lo shno l'achirim v'lo shno l'nafshei lo motzi mochil. As far as Rabbi Akiva is concerned, mechila is not a means of freeing someone from the need to return theft, regardless of whether it's the victim of the theft actually relieving the offender from his debt of theft, or it's one forgiving himself. It just doesn't work. The Gemara delves into these two opinions, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Akiva. You can see we've used a double underline to highlight the further analysis. Well, Rabbi Yossi Haglili, Hu Hadin Dafilu Lo Zakfoy B'Milva, the point we saw earlier in Rashi, and we said he took it from the Gemara, and here it is. According to Rabbi Yossi, the effectiveness of Mechila, where one can Moichel and Avshay, is so strong, it works even if the Ger did not convert it into a loan, but remained as Gezel. V'hai Dikotoni Zakfala B'Milva, the fact that that phrase appeared in the source, in the Braisa that we read above, it's there, Lohidiach HaKechad Rabbi Akiva. It's to show us how far Rabbi Akiva goes in his insistence on paying out. De'afilu zokfon olav be'milve ein lo takona, ashiyotzi gezela mitachas yodo. Even if the ger, who was the victim of the theft himself, converted it into a loan, it doesn't help the thief. He has to pay out the money. Maskif lo Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes takes issue with Rav Yochanan's approach. E hachi, if we were to accept Rav Yochanan's analysis, then the Mishnayos should have been taught differently. Le Rabbi Yossi Haglili, le Shaminon l'nafshei, the kol shekein l'achirim. As far as Rabbi Yossi Haglili is concerned, it would have been, more appropriate for having Rabbi Yossi Haglili been taught in the Mishnah on Kuf Ches, in other his opinion, reflected in the Mishnah on Kuf Ches, where he was where someone stole from his father, and he's, we'll say, the only heir, that he's moichel unto himself, and say that he's yotzei, fulfills his hashava requirements. And if that works, if you can be moichel, forgive unto yourself, certainly if the victim himself was moichel to you, that's more effective. That's more obvious. A more obvious form of relieving the thief from his obligation. So if we were to accept Rabbi Yochanan's approach, then the opinion of Rabbi Yossi Haglili should have appeared in the context of someone, a thief forgiving the debt unto himself, and that could have been accomplished by teaching a case of someone who stole from his father and he's the only heir. He keeps it for himself, and all the more so where it's l'achirim, all the more so the mechila would be effective if it was from the victim of the theft to the thief. Rabbi Akiva, and likewise Rabbi Akiva, who says Mechila doesn't work at all, then his opinion should have been reflected in the case of the Mishnah Daf Kuf Gimel, L'shaminon la'achirim d'lo motzi mochil. We should have had a case where the victim of the theft is presented as someone who cannot effectively be moichel, and v'koshekein l'nafshei d'lo motzi mochil. If the actual victim himself isn't effective in relieving the thief of his obligation to return, all the more so if the thief is trying to relieve himself. And yet that's not the way the Mishnayos were, the way the Shittas were presented in the Mishnayos. All we saw in the Mishnayos were one Mishnah saying that an outsider, the Achirim, can be Moichel. And our Mishnah on Kufches, along with Rav Yosef's interpretation above, where unto yourself you cannot be Moichel. That's all we saw in actuality. So, Elo Om Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes then comes forth with his resolution of the two sources. Ha v'ha, Rabbi Yosef Glili. Both the Reish on the Seifa, both Kuf Gimel Omid Aleph and Kuf Ches Omid Beis, are authored by Rabbi Yosef Glili. Ah, we saw Rabbi Yosef Glili speak about the effectiveness of Mechila. Kikom Rabbi Yosef Glili Damotzi Mochil. Where do we see Rabbi Yosef Glili indicating that Mechila works? L'achirim. That's in a case where it's the victim being Moichel to the offender, to the thief. That's what we saw. That was the case in the Mishnah Daf Kuf Gimel Omer Aleph. Now, where else did we see Rabbi Yosef Glili? Well, we saw him in the Braisa. Yeah, but in the Braisa, that was a case of the victim converting it into a loan, which is in effect a form of the outsider, the Achirim, forgiving the theft. Fine. That works. Avol Nafshei. But in the case of Gozelas Oviv, and he's the only Yoresh, the Mishnah on Kuf Ches Amid Beis, our Mishnah, Lo Matzi Mochil. Rabbi Yosi Aglili himself would acknowledge that that kind of Mechila is ineffective. Well then, if L'nafshei doesn't work, Elo Amai. Now, here the Gemara is raising a question, but we already answered this question. In the source above, we saw the ger died and the thief kept it for himself, but you're telling me that Rabbi Yosef Glili says that L'nafshei does not work unto yourself, keeping the theft, forgiving the theft unto yourself is ineffective. So then why, and we have little arrows to the side of the Gemara text, you can see why above then did he say, after the ger died, Zocha lo b'mashe b'yado? That's the case of L'nafshei. The Gemara says, no, Mishum d'zokfan alav b'milveh. Because the victim, while he was still alive, converted it into a loan. That conversion into a loan is equivalent to Achirim being moichel on the theft. The victim is declaring it's no longer a theft, it's now simply a loan. Rava Omar, Hava Ha, Rabbi Akiva. Rava's approach is that both Mishnayos Kuf Gimel and Kuf Ches are authored by Rabbi Akiva. And Rashi adds, as far as Rava is concerned, Rabbi Yosi Aglili will go much further. He says that you can moichel even l'nafshei, even unto yourself, even when it's not a formal mechila by the victim. But Rava, in resolving the two sources, say they're both authored by Rabbi Akiva. Ki Omar Rabbi Kiva de lo motzi mochil. Rabbi Kiva says that mechila doesn't work. That's when it's l'nafshei. That's when it's unto yourself. Like the case of Gozales Oviv and Rav Yosef's explanation that if he's the only heir, he cannot keep it. He has to pay it out to the charity dish. That's a case of l'nafshei avol. L'achirim motzi mochil. But as far as a victim of theft forgiving the need to return the theft unto the thief himself, that works. Hence, the Mishnah on Kuf Ches is an example of Mechilu Nafshei, and it doesn't work. The Mishnah of Kuf Gimel was the victim of theft was Moichel. That does work. Let's continue now at the top of Amud Beis. Michlal, well, according to Rava, as we already said, it would then lead us to think that the Rabbi Yosef Glili sovra filu lenafshei nami motzi mochil. That when it comes to oneself, as far as Rabbi Yosef Glili is concerned, you can forgive it unto yourself. Well, this then raises a major question. Elo gezel hager dekom rachmona nesina lekehanim hechi mishkachas lo. We made reference to this earlier in a very by the way fashion. And that is that the Torah speaks of someone who stole from a convert. In the event that the convert dies, the thief, in order to repent, has to bring the money to the Kohanim that are serving in the Beis HaMikdash at that time. Well, what do you mean by it? According to Rabbi Yosef Glili, why would there ever be the need to bring the money to Kohanim when at the point that the ger dies, he has no heirs? So you're mechel nafshei, you keep it for yourself. Omar Rova, hocha b'may askinon, kishigozal es hager, v'nishbalo umeis hager, v'hoide li'achar misa. The Torah that describes the gezel hager being given to the kohanim is where the offender stole from a convert, swore that to him that he didn't do such a thing. The ger then died, and the offender confessed after the ger's death. De be'idna de'aydi, at the point that he confessed that he had lied, sworn falsely, kanoi Hashem. V'nosnoi l'kehanim. Kono Hashem, it will translate literally, but it is a figurative element as well. It means the Almighty, so to speak, acquires it. And that's based on a pasuk Rashi cites on the second line from the top, K'dichtiv ha-mushav l'Hashem l'kohen. At the point that you have this thief who had sworn falsely, and then admits after the ger's death, so he has to repent for having sworn falsely, and the money is then acquired. The money that he has to pay in order to achieve penitence is acquired by the Almighty, who gives it to the kohanim, v'nosna l'kohanim. However, if the thief admitted in the lifetime of the ger, then it would be viewed as if it were a loan. And when the ger dies, he would be able to keep it for himself. As Rabbi Yossi Aglili said, you can be mochil lenafshei. Boi Ravina, gozal hagiyores mahu. A person stole from a woman convert. He swore that he didn't do such. Then admitted after her death. Mahu, does the money in such a case have to be paid to Kohanim? Or does he keep it for himself? This question is basically the exact same scenario we just got finished discussing. So you're probably wondering, based on what is Ravina even raising this question? Is there some kind of gender issue here? So the Gemara presents the question by citing the Pasuk. Now the Pasuk citation in the Gemara is only one word. So we glance at the side by Midbar Perek Hey. Let us read two Pasukim, Pasukim Zayin and Ches. The Gemara itself is quoting one word from Pasuk Ches, but it says in the Torah, and we're reading from the side in our margin where we've written, V'esvadu es chatosom asher osu v'heshiv es hashamo b'roisho v'chamishiso yosef olav v'nasan l'asher osham lo. V'im ein l'ish goyel l'hashiv ha'asham elav ha'asham ha'mushav l'ashem l'kohen milvad el ha'kipurim asher yechaper boy olav. So in the Psukim we see the confession of the sin and the need to return the principal and adding of a fifth, and in the event that ve'im ein, we saw in Pasuk Ches it says ve'im ein la ish goel, and if the man has no heirs, then the money is paid to the kohanim. So you saw the reference in the Pasuk to ish. So we're now asking, Ish, we're reading back in the Gemara, Aleph, you can see a little Aleph, Oy Dilma on the next line is squiggle, underline, Beis, two sides of the question. Ish, Omar, Rachmona, Velo, Isha. The Pasuk spoke about if the man doesn't have any heirs, so then the money is paid to the Kohanim. Not so in the case of a woman who was a convert from whom the theft took place. In that case, the thief can keep it for himself. Oy Dilma urche dekrahu, or the male gender choice isn't to the exclusion of a woman convert from whom money was stolen. The choice of the male form is simply the regular form that you see in verses. Omar le Rav Aroin. The Ravina. This name, Rav Aaron, is a very rare appearance of this Amora in Shas. Rav Aaron says to Ravina, Ta Shma Desanya. We have a Tanaic source from which you can conclude the issue. Ish, Ein Li Elo Ish, Isha Minayin. You can see here that we're looking for to include a woman as well, that the money would go to the Kohanim. Kishuoymer Hamushav, that you can see was in the Pasuk in Pasuk Ches, Hare Kan Shnayim. It spoke in the Pasuk of Ha'asham Hamushav La Kohen. So, Rashi has two opinions as to how you see in this word the idea of two victims. But for our purposes, Hamushav indicates that the Torah describes theft from not just a man, but from a convert woman. In Kain Ma Tamud Lomar Ish. So what's the significance of having the male form in the Pasuk? Answer. Ish Atatzuch Lachzer Achrov Im Yesh Legeyalim Im Lav. If the convert was an adult, then you're obligated to seek out, maybe he has children. Maybe he fathered children. Katan, however, if the victim of the theft was a minor, I ata tzorech lachzer achrov, there's no need to seek out maybe he has children, because biyadu shein lo goalim, it's known that a minor isn't capable of fathering children. A male minor is incapable of fathering children. So there would be no need to seek out whether he has any heirs, any children. That's what we gain by Ish. Ish tells me that only the adult convert is someone that you have to check out to see whether he fathered any children. Not so in the case of a minor. Tanu Rabbanan. Lashem La Kohen. We cited this pasuk earlier, Bamidbar Perakei Pasuk Ches, Kanoi Hashem V'Nosta L'Kohen Sheba Oisei Mishmar. The pasuk tells us that the thief, when he pays the money, as we already described, he had stolen from a convert, swore to him that he did not, then the convert died, and the thief admitted that he swore falsely. the money has to be paid to the Beis HaMikdash, and it's distributed to the Kohanim Shema'oisa Mishmar that are in that service group at the time that the thief comes to repent. You're saying that it's paid only to the Kayin that is in that service group. The Mishmar is a service group. The Kayanim were divided into 24 different Mishmaros, and each service group served a week during the year, and again a second week later in the year. And there was an entire cycle involving the different Mishmaros. The different Mishmaros had names. We'll see a reference to them later. Yoriv, Yedaya, by a couple, two names. The halacha that we're being taught now says that the repentant thief pays the money to the Kohen that's serving now, at that time, the time of his repentance, in the Beis HaMikdash. So that's what you say. Maybe the thief can pay any kohen, the kohen of his choice. Well, when the same pasuk makes reference to the payment of the theft besides the sacrifice that he has to bring, the guilt offering that he has to bring for having sworn falsely, you can see then, just like the sacrifice isn't offered by any kohen that you choose, it's offered by the kohanim that are serving right now in the Beis HaMikdash at that particular point in time that you decided to repent. So just like the sacrifice is processed by the kohen Sheba Oysa Mishmar, so to the money that is given to that same group of Kayhanim, the Kayhanim of that Mishmar, of that service group. There's a Rashi that adds a little more detail. Rashi, a couple lines up from here, Rashi says, Kshu Oimer Milvad El HaKippurim, Mashma Lemisha Zenitan Zenitan. It appears from the Pasuk that the one unto whom you give the sacrifice for being to be processed, you will give the money. The El HaKippurim, the El is a ram of penitence. The guilt offering cannot be offered other than a kohen that is in that particular service group at the time that the thief wants to repent. Kidichtiv, as the pasuk says, Levad mi mikarav al avos. That from that pasuk we learn, Ani b'shabati v'ata b'shabatcha. Each kohen has his own week. The Shabbos is also a word meaning a week. Each one has his own week of service. So that the Pasuk indicates that just like the animal is processed by that specific service group and not by your neighbor who happens to be a Kohen, so too the money that he pays must be paid to that service group in the Beis HaMikdash and not to the Kohen of your choice. Tanu Rabbanan. Before we continue in the Gemara, we glance at the side. We have a topic heading. And the topic heading reflects that which we've already stated. Kohen shegozal min hager v'nishba v'hoidu umeis hager. Kohen, in this case, this is the nuance of this section. Not just any thief, but a Kohen thief. The thief himself was a Kohen. He stole from a ger, swore that he didn't do so, and then confessed, and the ger died. Oysa gezel mischalik l'anshe mishmar. That gezel, the theft, the money, is distributed to whom? To the kohanim that are serving in that service group. And that the kohen, who's the thief, cannot attempt to, say, rationalize why he should keep the money for himself. Tanu Rabbanan, Hare Shohoya Goizel Kohen. We're describing, as we said, a Kohen who himself is the thief. He stole from the convert. And when his Mishmor time came, this Kohen has a Mishmor to which he is associated, a service group. And his Mishmor date arrived. He then admitted that he had stolen and sworn falsely to the convert. He admitted thusly after the death of that convert. Minayin shelo yoimar. From where do we know that that Kohen shall not rationalize or shall not reason as follows? Hayo v'yoytze l'kohanim. Since the payment in cases like this where there was theft and false and a false oath to the ger and the ger died, we say that the payment goes to the kohanim. Varehu tachas yodi. Well, and I'm now the one that admitted having sworn falsely, and I am the one holding the money. Yehei sheli. So let it remain with me. After all, I'm now the a kohen, a member of that mishmar, serving now the time that I'm admitting. Vidin hu. Logic would have said otherwise. We're looking to say that the Kohen shall not reason that it shall remain his. What would be his reasoning? He would reason as follows. Vidin hu. I b'shel acherim hu zoiche b'shel atzmoi loy kol shekein. If imagine a Yisrael came with the Gezel Hager, with the payment of the theft as a result of his stealing from the Ger. If a Yisrael, a non-Kohen, came in this Mishmar, in this service group, I would get a portion with the other Kohanim, a portion of someone else's Gezel Hager. My own, all the more so, I should be able to keep the entire amount. So, we're telling you, we're saying at this point that he shall not say thusly. But you can see there's a certain level of reasoning that he might think to say. If he merits getting someone else's Gezel Ager, so his own all the more so. Rabbi Nosson Oimer Beloshoin Acher. Rabbi Nosson presents this in a different form. Uma davar she'ein lo chelek bo ad shikones birshuso. Mind you, another kohen, a second kohen, who doesn't have any portion in a first kohen's sacrifices. A kohen, just by way of background, has the right to offer his own sacrifices anytime he wants, even if it's not his own particular mishmar. But a Kohen has that privilege of offering his own personal sacrifices whenever he should want, and the meat and the skin he keeps for himself. That's based on a pasuk that says, V'ish es kodoshov lo yeh. So Rabbi Nosson says, this is a type of logic. Mind you, a second Kohen has no portion in the sacrifices of a particular, any other particular Kohen. Achi Kones Bushuso means until it gets into that second Kohen's possession. If a Kohen who has a right, has a privilege to offer his own sacrifices, wants to give that privilege to someone else so he can do so. But if a Kohen doesn't initiate that, so a second Kohen has no portion in the sacrifices of a, we'll call him a first Kohen that wants to offer his own sacrifices. Kishayikones lirshuso, if that first Kohen decides to give his sacrifices to a second Kohen to offer, eino yochel lehotzio miyado. So if the first Kohen grants the rights of offering the sacrifice to a second Kohen, he can't then take it away from him. Rashi, across from here, says, Mishe nichnas lirishuso, ein acher yochol, shiim nosna lekayin acher, shaloise mishmar. If a Kohen gave his own sacrifices to another Kohen of that particular service group, shuv ein yochol lehotzio miyadoi, the first Kohen can't then retrieve it from him, shenemar v'ish asher yitein lakohen lo yeh. When you give something to a Kohen to offer, it becomes his, not something you can take back. So, mind you, something that a second Kohen has no portion in until it enters his domain, until he's offered it. But when he is offered it, the first Kohen cannot take it away. Dovar shiyesh lo chelek boy ad shelo yikones birshuso. Gezel hager. That a Yisrael brings to a particular service group. Even though he gives it to one of the Kohanim, all the other Kohanim have a portion in it. Mishenichnas lirshuso, eino din, de'ein acher yochol lohotzio miyado. When it enters his rishus, namely, something that a Kohen had a portion in before it came into his domain. As we described, a Yisrael who has to pay Gezel Ager, if he tries to give it to one Kohen, all the other Kohanim in that service group have a portion in it. So when something like that even before it comes into your domain, you have a portion, and something that's already in your domain, all the more so, someone else can't take it away from you. And that has relevance to our case. This Kohen, who has his own debt of Gezel Ager, admits to his false oath after he's already a part of the service group, certainly he shall be able to keep it for himself. Lo, the Gemara now points out that there's a lack of logic here. Im amris bedavar she'ein lo chelek bo, if you want to speak of something that he has no portion in, we mentioned before the sacrifices of a particular Kohen are exclusively his own, and other Kohanim don't have a portion in it. So if you say about something like that, Dover She'ein lo chelek bo, Kishem She'ein lo chelek bo, Kach ein l'achirim chelek bo. Just like he doesn't have a portion in it, others also don't have a portion in it. So taking the example of a Kohen's personal sacrifice, which we described as something that a second Kohen doesn't have any portion in before it is given to him, but once it's given to him, no one else can take it away from him, well, then that's true. Why? And well, let's read the phrase again that we just read in the Gemara. Shekashem she'ein lo chelek bo, kach ein lachirim chelek bo. Just like that second Kohen didn't have a portion in it, no one else had a portion in it either. So if a Kohen decides to give his own sacrifice to a particular Kohen to process, that second Kohen keeps it and no one can take it away from him, because there is no one else that had any holding in it to begin with. Toimar beGezel, shall you say the same thing by Gezel Hager? שכשם שיש לו חלק בו, כך יש לאחרים חלק בו. That just like others had a holding in it, just like by Gezel we say, just like you had a holding in it, so too others had a holding in it. So you see that the right that you have to claim the Gezel Hager for yourself is not parallel to the case of a Kohen and his own personal sacrifice. Because in the case of Gezel Hager, other Kohanim already had a chelek in it, already had a holding in it when it was brought to the Beis HaMikdash. Elo Gezelo Yoytse Mitachas Yodo Mischalik L'chol Echov HaKohanim. Rather, the Kohen who had stolen from the Ger must part with it, he cannot keep it for himself, and it's divided amongst all the other Kohanim of that Mishmar, of that service group. The Gemara asks, V'hoksiv v'ish es kodoshav lo yihyu. Kohen has a right to keep his own sacrificial matters. Let's take a look at Rashi, a couple lines down from here. V'hoksiv ish es kodoshav, v'nafgalon l'kamon minei, we learn from this pasuk, shekayin makriv korbanoisav b'cholei shiyotzeh b'sovei oreh shelo, we already made reference to this earlier. A Kohen can bring his own sacrifices, offer them whenever he wants, and the meat and skins remain his own. V'ochanami hai el osham korbanos t'kayin hu. So to the guilt offering that has to be brought as a result of the false oath made to the convert, that is the korban of that Kohen, v'zochi bei, and he merits it for himself, v'kevon demakriv lei v'zochi bei, since he offers it, he and acquires it for himself, gezel nami didei hu, the theft itself, the money itself, shall remain his. Kidamrinon, as we said, milvari el hakipurim. We spoke about this earlier. Lemi shezet nitan, zet nitan. The one to whom the korban is given, the money is given. So a Kohen, who is himself the thief, he will be bringing his own guilt offering. He should be able to keep the Gezel Hager for himself. So what about this Tanaic source that we just read that said that we take the Gezel Hager away from the Kohen and it's distributed amongst all the others? The Gemara answers, Hacha b'maya skinan, the Brisa that says we take it from him and distribute it amongst the others, b'Kohen Tomei, the Kohen that is the thief is defiled. He can't offer his own guilt offering because he's defiled. So the connection between the korban and the money, entitling the Kohen to get the money, doesn't exist over here. Because, as we said, he can't offer the sacrifice, so he's not going to get the money. He's not going to keep his Gezel Hager. Question, if the source is, in fact, speaking about a defiled Kohen, the arrow you see to the side of the Gemara text is parallel with the arrow above. Because in the source it said, Dovar sheyeshlo chelek bo. We were describing things that he has a portion in. But it's not true that he has a portion. Mi islay, does he have a portion in it? So rather, the source, the Brisa, in fact, is talking about a Kohen Tohar. If it's talking then about a Kohen Tohar, the question returns, why do we distribute the Gezel Hager to all the other Kohanim when the Kohen that is the thief is going to bring his own guilt offering, and along with the guilt offering that he will bring and keep for himself, keep the meat for himself, the money as well he should be keeping for himself. Elo asyo l'kayin l'kayin mistei achuza. Through a gezerah shava from the topic of stei achuza, we will learn that the kohen cannot keep it for himself. And we point out, by the way, that the pasuk ve'ish es kadoshav is used for a different conclusion, a different drasha. Disanya. Now we have a Tanaic source. Before we continue in the Gemara itself, let's glance at the side. We have a nosei, a topic heading. Sade Achuza, that's an inheritance field, a field that one inherited from his father, who in turn inherited from his father all the way back in time to the distribution of the land of Israel in the time of Yehoshua ben Nun. That's as opposed to a field that one purchased on his own. So a stei achuza, shehukdash, that was sanctified. The owner of the field sanctified his inheritance field, v'loy nifdeh, and he didn't redeem it. He didn't buy it back after having sanctified it. Umachre gizbar, and the temple, the Beis HaMikdash treasurer, sold the field. Sold the field to some purchaser. Oisis sadeh mischalik l'kehanim shel ha-mishmor sheboy nichnas ha-yovel. That field is then, when the Yovel year comes, is divided amongst the Kehanim that serve in the Beis HaMikdash when the Yovel year sets in. The Yovel year, the Jubilee year, the 50th year of the, every 50 years, the Jubilee cycle, a number of laws, land-related laws apply, and one of those laws is that a field that was sold by the Gizbar to a purchaser is distributed amongst all the Kehanim. That's by way of background. Now, with that in mind, we also have a posuk that we want to note in Vayikra Perek Chav Zayin Posuk Chav Aleph. We have this written in the margins. Let's read the posuk together. It says, V'hoya hasada b'tzeisa b'yovel kedush l'ashem kistei acherim l'kayen tiyeh achuzasoi. The posuk describes the field that leaves the purchasers that we described earlier, the ones that purchased from the Gizbar, from the temple treasurer. And in that Yovel year, they're distributed amongst the Kehanim. Now the Gemara. Achuzasoi ma Talmud Lomar. What do we learn from this? Achuzaso is a word indicating something that is of an inherited nature, something that, literally, something that you hold. Now, the posuk that we read said, La kohen tiyeh, the field in the Yovel year will be given to the kohen. What do we gain by adding the word achuzaso? Could it not have simply said, La kohen tiyeh? So the Gemara explains what the word achuzaso does. Minayin, from where do we know? The field that we described, the inheritance field that had been sanctified, and it was not redeemed by the owner, but the Gizbar, the temple, the Beis HaMikdash treasurer, sold it. When the Yovel year comes, it's distributed amongst the Kehanim that are serving at that time in the Beis HaMikdash. So a field like that, V'goalo Echod Min HaKehanim, we mentioned that the field had been sanctified and was sold by the temple treasurer to a purchaser. In this case, the purchaser happened to be a kohen, not just any kohen, a kohen who serves as a member of the Mishmor when the Yovel year enters. So that's the kohen that bought the field from the Gizbar. And now, the Yovel year sets in, and he's part of the service group. Minayin shelo yoimar. From where do we know that he shall not say the following? Now, what is it that he should not say? The next three lines. That's why you see a singular quotation marks. Hayo v'yotze l'kehane b'yovel. Since fields that were purchased from temple treasurers are distributed amongst the kehanim in the Yovel year, v'arehi tachas yodi teheshili. And right now, the field that we're focusing on is a field that I purchased, says the Kohen, from the Gizbar, and it's in my possession right now. The din hu, and logic would indicate that it should remain mine. I would merit receiving a portion in other people's stay achuzas that were purchased from the Gizbar. Here where I purchased it from the Gizbar, all the more so, I should keep it for myself and not have it distributed amongst the other kohanim of the of that mishmor of which he's a part. Talmud lomar kistei hachirim lakein tie achuzosoi achuzos shelo v'einzu shelo. A kohen is entitled to keep something that he inherited, but this is not a field that he inherited. Ha'ketzad, so then what does he do? Yoytze mitachas yodoy mischalekes l'chol echof ha'kehanim. The field that he bought from the Gizbar is then taken from him and distributed amongst the other kehanim of that mishmor, of that service group. As we continue in the Gemara, we encounter a point that we have been mentioning often up till now. A topic heading on the side reads under the Nosei, Kohen yachol lovoi lahakriv korbanoiso b'chol zman shiyirtze. Afal pi she'ein zu mishmor shelo. A Kohen has the right to offer his own sacrifices whenever he wants, even though it's not the time of his own mishmor. Tonu Rabbana. We continue in the Gemara. Minayin l'kayin shibol makriv korbanoisa b'chol eis u'b'chol shal shikirsa. From where do we know that a Kohen can come and offer his sacrifices at any time, any hour that he wants? When we say at any hour, of course it has to be during the daytime hours. Sacrifices are not offered at night. Talmud lomar. The Pasuk says uvo b'chol avas nafshoi v'sheres. That's the Pasuk. He comes with his desire and serves. And from where do we know that the meat and the skins remain his? Talmud lomar v'ish es kodoshav lo yihye. The sacrifices that he brings remain his. Ha ketzad. How do we understand this halacha? Im hoya baal mum. If the kohen that has sacrifice to be brought is himself a kohen bearing a blemish. As such, he's entitled to eat from sacrificial meat, but he's not entitled to offer it. So in terms of offering, since he himself cannot offer, he cannot appoint an agent to offer it. Therefore, he has to give the sacrifice to the entire service group, and amongst them, it's decided who offers it. However, he is entitled to eat from sacrificial meat. Therefore, the meat and the skins will remain his. So the Gemara says, Im hoya balmum, noisna l'kein sheba'oisa mishmar. If the Kohen that has a sacrificial need, he has a sacrificial debt to fulfill, he gives it, if he's blemished, he gives it to one of the Kohanim in the service group, and they decide who shall offer it. He cannot appoint a Kohen to do it for him. As we said, something that he can't do himself, he can't appoint his own agent to do it for him. However, vavoidosa v'oiro shelo, the meat and the skins do remain with the baal mum, that particular blemished kohen. We continue at the top of Daf Kuf Yud. V'im hoya zokein oy choyle, if the kohen is elderly or infirmed, he's fit, he's capable of doing the avoda, but because of his age or infirmity, he is incapable of consuming the meat. The elderly kohen can appoint any kohen he wants to offer it. He can appoint a kohen as his agent. However, the meat and the skins, li'anshei mishmar, that's distributed amongst the kohanim in that formal service group at the time that he brings his sacrifice. Hi, zaken ochela hechidomi. Reference was just made to an elderly or infirmed individual. What are the details? What are the circumstances? If he is capable of doing the act of offering, let the meat and the skins remain his as well. And if he's incapable of doing the actual service of offering the sacrifice, how can he appoint an agent to offer it on his behalf? One can appoint an agent only for things that he himself can do. But if he can't do the act of offering because of his physical situation, how is it that we entitle him to appoint a particular kohen to act as his agent? Shouldn't it be processed by the formal service group in the Beis HaMikdash? Omar Rav Popos. Rav Popos explains, Sheyachal Lasos Hayadei Hadchak. He's capable of acting, but with great difficulty. Dchak, only he cannot do it smoothly and easily, we'll say. Therefore, we have to now look at the two aspects, the offering of the sacrifice and the eating. Avodah, when it comes to the act of offering the sacrifice, which involves carrying the sacrificial blood to the altar, sprinkling the blood on the altar, those are aspects of avodah. The chi'ovid le'ayidei adchak avodahi, u'mashvi sheliach. Avodah that's done, even if it's done with great difficulty, but it constitutes the fulfillment of the sacrificial procedure. So, since even if done with difficulty, it constitutes a fulfillment of sacrificial procedure, he can appoint an agent. Achila d'chi ochel al yedei adchak achila gasehi. However, when it comes to eating, if someone is capable of eating, but only with great difficulty. It's a situation where he finds the food, in this case the sacrificial meat, intolerable, disgusting, if you will. That kind of eating, and eating under circumstances or with feelings of repulsiveness, that's called achila gasa. And the achila gasa lav klumhu, it's not constant, it doesn't constitute a fulfillment of the Torah requirement of eating. Eating is, when the Torah speaks about mitzvahs that involve eating, so the eating must be an eating done with a certain sense of, we'll say, of pleasure, of enjoyment, not the opposite. Eating something that you find, because of your situation, if he's old or he's infirm, he can't tolerate it, that's not called an act of eating. That, for that reason, the meat and the skins will be distributed amongst the kohanim of that service group. In other words, he can't appoint an agent, so to speak, to receive the meat that he himself is incapable of eating. So he can't assign it to someone else. And that's why in the source it said that the Avodah Sevira goes to the Anshei Mishmor. Omar Rav Sheshes. We have a new marking, and on the side under our Mivneh heading, we indicate these are shnei dugmois, two examples. You have Rav Sheshes, and later Rav Ashi will present two dugmois shel kehanim shenimnoim mitifkud molei. Eze shlichus yacholasos. Kehanim who are incapable of full Kohen service, that are restrained from full Kohen service. You'll see that we will first talk about a Kohen who is Tomei, he's defiled. Later we'll talk about a Kohen Gadol who is an Onein. He just experienced the loss of a close relative, and the relative hasn't been buried yet. He's called an Onein. We'll see details as to how there's what element of priestly restriction is there in terms of their functioning as kehanim in offering sacrifices. Omar Rav Sheshes, im hoya kayen tomei bekorban sibor. If a kohen of a particular service group happened to be defiled, and there's a public sacrifice that needs to be offered. By way of background, even though defilement is, we'll say, anathema to sacrificial offering, when it comes to public sacrifices, tumah, a state of defilement, does not necessarily disqualify the Kohen from acting. Because, once again, we're in the case of a public sacrifice, a korban sibor. So Rav Sheshes says, if you have a Kohen that's Tomei, a member of a particular service group, and a Korban Sibor is offered, a Korban Sibor that's offered in a state of Tumah is, as we said, it's offered, but a Kohen that's Tomei cannot eat it. Noisna l'chol mi shiyirtze, that Kohen that's Tomei can give it to any other Kohen of his choice. The meat and the skins will be distributed amongst the Kohanim of the service group. So we see an element of, attachment on the part of this Kohen Tomei, in so far as that he can appoint someone else to offer it. But the meat and skins, that is distributed amongst the Anshei Mishmor. So, Hechi Domi, we want to look further into what are the circumstances. Idi'ika Tahirim, if in this service group there are Kohanim that are undefiled, Tameyim mi Motsu Avdi, would the Tameyim be entitled to offer to begin with? If this was the case, that there were Kohanim Tahirim, undefiled Kohanim, the Tomei Kohanim, being that they themselves wouldn't be able to offer, they couldn't appoint others to offer it either. We continue in the Gemara, V'idoleka Tahirim, and if there are no Kohanim Tahirim in that service group, then what do you mean by Avodasa V'Oira La'anshei Mishmar? How can Rav Sheshes speak about the meat and the skins going to the other members of that service group? Are Tamei and Ninu v'lo Matsu Achli. They're Tamei. They cannot eat. When a Kohen experiences a bodily Tumah, he is forbidden from eating sacrificial meat. So what is Rav Sheshes talking about? Omar Rava Emo. So we have to restate the second point of Rav Sheshes. Lebale mumin tahirin sheba oisa mishmar. The case had to be then that all of the regular kohanim of that mishmar were tomei. Therefore, the kohen tomei can appoint someone else to offer it. As far as the avoid on the oira are concerned, we can't leave Rav Sheshes as he said originally. So rather, Rava says the avoida and the oira will go to the blemished kohanim that happen to be undefiled of that service group. So they're amongst that service group, the non-blemished kohanim, they're all tomei. However, there are undefiled Kohanim that are blemished. They will be entitled to eat. As we indicated earlier, the blemish doesn't disqualify from eating, it simply disqualifies from service. Omar Ravashi, Im Hoya Kohen Gadol Onein. A Kohen Gadol who happens to be an Onein. I want to point out, a Kohen, generally speaking, if he is an Onein, he's not allowed to remain in the Beis HaMikdash, in service in the Beis HaMikdash. The exception to that is a Kohen Gadol. He is not to leave the Beis HaMikdash. He is to remain, it will say, empowered to offer sacrifices. So here we have a Kohen Gadol who's an Onein. We mentioned before the Onein is an individual who, unfortunately, lo aleinu, lost a close relative, and immediately after the close relative dies, like one's father, one's mother, immediately after their death, so the surviving relative is classified as an Onein. Now, we're talking about a Kohen Gadol, who happens to be an Onein, and he has his own sacrifice that needs to be offered. Noisno l'chol Kohen Shirtze. He can give it to any other Kohen, since he himself could offer it. He has the power to appoint an agent to offer it. What about a Kohen Gadol Onein eating from sacrificial meat? No, that he's not allowed to. The meat and the skins of that sacrifice are distributed amongst the Kohanim of that service group. As we said, he is not entitled to receive a portion to take the meat for himself. He can't eat the meat himself. He can't appoint or assign it to someone else. So it's distributed amongst the Anshei Mishmar. The Gemara asks, Maiko Mashmolon, what does Rav Ashi reveal to us, Tanina, that we've already learned this in a Tanaic source? It says, Kayan Gadol Makriv Oinein V'eino Oichel V'eino Cholek Lechol Lo'erev. A Kayan Gadol is entitled to offer sacrifices even though he's an Onein, but he cannot eat from the meat, and he doesn't receive a portion either to eat from in the evening. And the evening is a time period at which he's would no longer be considered an Onein on a Torah level. Aninus Laila is the Rabbanon. The classification of one being an Onein with the restrictions that we've mentioned before applies to the immediate first day of Aninus. But when the night sets in, that represents the beginning of a new day, even if the mace hasn't been buried, even if the deceased hasn't been buried, his own name status at that point is rabbinic. So, do we not know whatever Rav Ashi teaches from a Tanaic source that precedes him? What do I need Rav Ashi for? The Gemara answers, Salkadei Tachamina, I would have thought, had I not had Rav Ashi, Ki chos rachmona olei dekein gadol, lekruvihu. The Torah that has a special dispensation for a Kohen Gadol who's an Onein, I would have thought is something special, unique, and limited to the Kohen Gadol himself. But that he should be able to appoint an agent as well to offer his sacrifice? That maybe not. Because he's an Onein. Komash Malon, Rav Ashi, comes to tell me that the Kohen Gadol is an Onein, can actually appoint an agent as well. That information you did not see in the Tanaic source that was quoted. Hence, Rav Ashi reveals to us this additional element of flexibility, of leniency, that a Kohen Gadol Onein can actually appoint someone else to offer his sacrifice. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.